I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Please take your seats quickly, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Passing Shot with Joel and Kim, supported by DownloadTennis.com. On today's Wimbledon preview,
Roger Federer lands in the opposite half to Djokovic.
Defending champ Simona Halep is out.
And Katie Swan becomes the first British ladies qualifier in 20 years.
Kim, just as the French Open is finished, we are moving swiftly on to our third Grand Slam of the season, Wimbledon, just around the corner, starting on Monday after a 2-year hiatus, which is crazy in itself. I mean, just before the podcast, I actually forgot Court 1 had a roof. It's been that long, Kim.
Yeah, and you were worried about the rain next week, and I was saying to you, oh, you don't have to worry. You're quite smug. You've got two show courts as your ticket options, whereas I will be sitting on the hill with an umbrella over me trying to keep dry and watch whatever tennis I can, hopefully with a Pims in my hand to kind of ameliorate the situation. But the forecast doesn't look too good for next week. So
I don't care now. I don't care now, Kim. Now that you've reminded me that Court 1 actually does have a roof, maybe I'm just going to like look over to Henman Hill and I'm just going to see a solitary figure, i.e. yourself, just drinking a Pims, tragically in the rain, watching on the big screen, and I'll be all kind of dry, ready to look forward to watching my live tennis on my show court.
Well, I will get the sympathy of everyone else watching at home. And I'm sure I won't be the only one. I'm sure despite the reduced capacity, Henman Hill is going to be just as busy as it can be, I think, because it does attract large crowds at the best of times. But, well, let's hope for the best. But we've got some draws to discuss, first of all, before we get to any live tennis actually happening. And, yeah, it's really difficult, I think, this year to predict, because we've had, you know, 2 years away from the grass courts. A lot of players are coming into the tournament without having actually played a warm-up event. They don't have any like matches on grass, some injury doubts perhaps. We don't really know what to expect from a lot of people, which makes it very hard to try and predict.
I mean, the women's draw alone is just hard to predict, because we speak every time when a Grand Slam comes around that the quality runs so deep. And on top of that, as you said, the fact that we've got injuries, we've got players who haven't had any match practice, it really just is gonna open up potentially into some surprising results. We saw that at the French Open, you know, particularly in the ladies section, where, you know, we had a surprise final that no one was predicting. And, you know, I guess it could be the same at Wimbledon, you know, in just over 2 weeks' time. We will have to see. But as you said, we've got some draws to look at on the men's side and the women's side. And in true Passing Shot fashion, we are going to be doing some predictions. And our listeners will also be able to hear our collector set player picks as well, which we will be announcing at the end of the episode. So there is a lot of exciting things to come, as well as all the tennis we've got on this week at the moment.
Yeah, exactly, because it's, you know, there's sort of previewing and reviewing a little bit as well at the same time. Let's start with the men's draw, shall we? Because I mean, if there's one thing we can be certain about, Joel, is that Novak Djokovic is probably going to win his sixth Wimbledon title.
Well, yeah. Should we just leave our men's preview there then?
Yeah, it's probably no point. We'll just put a stamp, Djokovic, tick, on we go. Right, women next. I mean, the question is perhaps how many sets will he lose? Arguably none, because he's actually got a pretty easy draw. I mean, I would say his most interesting match is actually his first round match because he's got Jack Draper. So British interest, you know, he did well at Queens, got to the quarterfinals. You know, he's got a great game for a grass court, but, you know, obviously I wouldn't expect him to get anywhere near Novak, but I am very pleased for Draper that he's got a big occasion. He's got a show court. I think that will help him. And I think that's kind of what you want when you're playing your first Wimbledon in the adult draw.
Yeah, I agree. I think he would have seen that and he's going to be absolutely relishing that opportunity to come up against one of the greatest of all time. You know, this is probably what, you know, he's kind of dedicated his life for, you know, up until this moment, the chance to go out and play one of the big three, probably on centre court on Monday, first thing. It's going to be a really, I think, fitting occasion, I think, to, you know, open up Wimbledon again. It's got the, you know, the interest of the British public, the fact that, you know, Jack Draper has come up and, you know, we've seen him at Queen's do, you know, really well. You know, I spoke about it being his, you know, sort of his coming out tournament. And who knows, maybe this Wimbledon could be his coming out Grand Slam. You know, he's got previous here in terms of the, you know, the boys singles, you know, doing really well there in the past. And, you know, coming up against Novak Djokovic, I don't think he's going to be one to shy away from the occasion. I think he's going to absolutely kind of drink it in every single moment. I don't think there's going to be any sign of nerves. I think he's just going to go out there and just show everyone, you know, show Novak Djokovic, show the fans, show everyone on TV kind of what Jack Draper is about. And, you know, that match against Djokovic in round one is probably the perfect opportunity to do that, because, you know, we see his game and, you know, I think it starts with that, you know, that big sort of lefty serve, and the fact that he's going to be coming up against one of the best returners in the, you know, in the history of tennis. I think that's going to be a, you know, a challenge that I think he's going to be looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm quite excited just to see how well he gets on. And perhaps it's the best time to play Djokovic because, you know, Novak has been in the doubles in Mallorca this week, got to the final, but withdrew supposedly because of a foot injury for his partner. But I'm sure it was just because Novak obviously needed to
fly to London. S&P 19. Yeah, exactly.
So he's got a few matches under his belt, you know, in the doubles on the grass court. He'll have a weekend of practice, which is, you know, probably enough for a 5-time champion. So, I mean, you'd expect him to come through relatively easy. He has got Kevin Anderson in the second round, assuming Anderson was to get there, which is a repeat of the 2018 final. But, you know, Anderson, he's kind of a shadow of the player he was back in, you know, 3 years ago now. So wouldn't expect him to trouble Novak too much. And then, to be honest with you, after that, you know, Djokovic has got some, I would say, relatively easy opposition. The likes of Davidovic, Fokina, potentially Monfils, Christian Garin as the kind of higher ranked opponents. But whether any of those players would actually get there is another thing. In terms of his quarterfinal, Andrei Rublev, do you see him being much of a threat? He did get to the final last week in Halle, losing to Hugo Humbert. But I'm not convinced that Rublev is. I mean, he could very well get to the quarterfinals, but I wouldn't say he poses any sort of threat to the title.
I don't see it. I still think he's relatively inexperienced at, you know, at this stage at Wimbledon, you know, best of five on a grass. I think this is only his third time here. And I think that is gonna count. He's also got some kind of tricky, I think, opposition. He could come up against Lloyd Harris, Fabio Fognini as well, potentially in the third round. So I don't think it's necessarily a done deal that we'll see a Djokovic Rublev quarterfinal. But I certainly think even if he does get there, I think Djokovic is just gonna have too much smarts really to not really be troubled by that. And, you know, I think Rublev will want to give a, you know, good account of himself here. You know, he didn't have a great French Open, and, you know, he did start his season right, his grass court season right in Halle, so he'll look to want to kind of continue that. But you do feel kind of the lack of experience might kind of count against him in terms of, you know, potentially getting through, I think, to the second week.
I'm surprised that Gael Monfils is actually still the 13th seed. Like, I swear he has had really poor results and really struggled of late. I'm surprised that he's actually still up there in terms of the seedings. But I guess it's, you know, because of the ranking system.
And I mean, Kim, just interestingly on the Djokovic-Kevin Anderson potential kind of second round, I agree with you. I think that match probably was more exciting and could have been more 50-50, I think, maybe a few kind of seasons ago. But there's a little bit of interesting subtext there, because Djokovic, as we all know, is kind of one of the key components of the PTPA, the Professional Tennis Players Association. But Kevin Anderson is the president of the ATP Player Council. So it's a weird sort of, you know, Star Wars-esque, I think. You know, well, some people might see it as a Star Wars-esque kind of good side and dark side, you know, face-off there, which is quite interesting, particularly because up to the, again, kind of the noise, I think, around the PTPA has sort of has increased in the build-up to Wimbledon on kind of social media. It looks like they're kind of getting their affairs in order. I see they've added some more structures, some more hires, and there has definitely been some back and forth with the ATP, particularly over a strategic plan for the next 30 years, where the PTPA are basically not happy about it going to a vote, given it is a pretty big thing for the next 30 years, and they feel as players are completely in the dark. So there's kind of social media kind of going on at the moment about kind of potentially putting a delay to that vote, and you know, the ATP understandably not happy in terms of seeing it as an attack on, you know, their governing body. So there's a little bit of a interesting subplot there, but again, the PTPA has come up, I think. I don't know if this is like their thing, but I feel like him every time a Grand Slam comes around the corner, the PTPA it's the moment for the PTPA to make their statement.
Yeah, they always try and bring it out like right before a slam, which is interesting timing. But maybe Anderson will be fired up as a result of that.
You will accept this 30-year plan from the ATP, and here's an ace to prove it.
Well, he did actually beat, he didn't beat Novak, but he was two sets up against Novak in 2015 and then lost in five. I think that was when they came back the next day, and it was a very different story when they did. But yes, we will see on that one. I mean, Jannik Sinner is also in this section of the draw, but he has got quite a tough opener against Martin Fucsovics. So I'm not too convinced that Sinner is going to, you know, he lost to Draper at Queens. I haven't seen enough, really, like with many players, haven't seen enough on a grass court yet to really know what to expect. But let's drop down to the bottom section of the top half, where we actually have Stefanos Tsitsipas fresh off the back of a Roland Garros final. So he would be projected to meet Novak in the semi-final should he get there. But I feel like Tsitsipas, there's a big question mark, isn't there, over him, because often we find when players, you know, reach their first slam final or, you know, break through, that there is a bit of a hangover, and in their next tournament they do struggle with either like expectation, or they just can't quite get fired up again. And you know, he hasn't played any matches on grass in the run-up. You know, he pulled out of Halle, so we really don't know what to expect. You know, Tsitsipas on a grass court, I don't think the two have sort of historically so far gone together. I don't know if he's headed for an early exit, or if he'll justify his seeding. He has done really well in slams of late, but you know, grass can be completely different.
It's such a quick turnaround, isn't it? And he is playing back-to-back Grand Slams. As you said, he's not played any sort of grass court build-up events. He took that perplexing now wild card into Halle, which he then decided against. And he's really had no match practice beyond maybe probably some, you know, a couple of practice sets at Wimbledon. And, you know, his first round match is against Francis Tiafoe, which, for me, Kim, is a bit surprising. I didn't actually realise Francis Tiafoe wasn't seeded. I thought he's had a, you know, pretty all right kind of season so far. He looked pretty good, I think, in his defeat to Shapovalov at Queens. So I think that is going to be a real test for Tsitsipas. And although he, you know, had a good sort of bedding in time with the, you know, the clay and all the, you know, the Masters Series events up to kind of Roland Garros, the fact that he's not been afforded that time here, you know, might count against him. And yeah, you know, I just think in terms of his game and how it kind of stacks up on a tennis court, I do wonder about his, you know, when you see his ground strokes in kind of full flight, there is sort of a big wind up there, I think. And he's not going to be afforded that time on a grass court, and therefore I do wonder if his timing might be a thing for him potentially. So I think there's going to be challenges with, you know, his game and making sure he adapts it to a grass court, because although it might work very well on a clay, he's going to have to make, I think, some tweaks in order for it to be effective on the grass.
Yeah, and we don't know how, you know, being two sets up in the French Open final, how that will still be perhaps playing on his mind. You know, it was quite a heartbreaking defeat. And I think he also lost his grandmother as well on the same day, I think, or certainly that finals weekend. So perhaps going through a bit of personal grief as well, which obviously won't help unless he can channel that in the right way. TFO first round, not ideal. You know, Pospisil, Khachanov, big servers on a grass court. You know, De Minaur in the fourth round, who's very, very impressive so far on the grass this season, with a semi in Queens and a final or better in Eastbourne. So, yeah, I was really hesitant, I think, to put Tsitsipas in my semi-finals. But then I was thinking, well, who else in this section would potentially come through? And I was looking at perhaps Roberto Bautista Agut, who made the semis 2 years ago.
I completely forgot that actually happened, Kim. It's been so long.
Would you perhaps go for, I mean, Andy Murray's in this section of the draw against Basilashvili in the first round. You know, Andy's obviously got a wild card. Not ideal being drawn against a seeded player. There's certainly a whole host of other names he could have been drawn against them that would instill more confidence. But what do you think Andy's going to be able to do, like, look, given the draw that he's been given?
Yeah, I mean, I think we both know that Basilashvili is a player who does blow hot and cold, and I'm hoping that he blows cold, in this kind of first round match. I think it's certainly winnable for Murray, and, you know, given the tennis that we saw in Queens, I know, you know, he would have probably wanted to have gone further, but, you know, in the manner of his defeat against Berrettini, yes, I think it was pretty, you know, let's be honest, it was pretty routine. But I still think there was enough there for me to think that, you know, potentially he could, you know, win a few matches. I don't think any, even the most diehard, you know, Andy Murray fans are probably, you know, not expecting him to, you know, get to, you know, semi-finals or further, for example. But I certainly think that, you know, he can certainly trouble all of these kind of players, and, you know, will go there, you know, expecting to win. You know, he's had some good times at Wimbledon, obviously, in the past as a, you know, multiple time Grand Slam champion here. And I think he will want to kind of remember those moments, because it has been so long since we've seen him, you know, on these courts. And I think he will, you know, do himself a world of good, I think, of just try and think back to those moments and channel that, you know, that energy and that enthusiasm and all that, you know, all of that, what came with those runs into kind of this moment to, you know, potentially, yeah, become inspired once again, because he might need to go and find another level to come through. He could potentially, if he gets past Basilashvili, he could face Shapovalov in round three. Now, I think, realistically, my realistic kind of Andy Murray hat on, I kind of see that as the step too far. I think Shapovalov's looked kind of pretty good so far. And I just wonder whether, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But I think if Andy is getting to round three, I think that would be, for me personally, that would be kind of job done.
Yeah, I think it's kind of maybe 70-30 weighing towards Basilashvili for that first round.
Oh, that's a
round.
Bit hard. 70-30.
Well, I mean, I hope that if Andy does lose, that it's close and he goes out with a bang and it's not sort of a whimper. I mean, with a centre court crowd behind him, perhaps, you know, that will probably help a lot. But I just, Basilashvili got to the semis in Halle, he had a good match against Rublev. He's not, you know, he can put it together. He's not he's not someone to be underestimated.
Yeah, it's certainly one match at a time. This is not, you know, get to the second week and go from there. Taking it kind of day by day, because the other thing we don't know is how his body is going to kind of hold up. This is best of five set tennis, and, you know, it is hard, and he's not had a lot of game time. He's had a few matches, you know, on the grass at Queens in best of three format. So again, it's going to be very, very tough. So let's kind of wait and see. But yeah, I know a few. There are a few doubters that are sort of expecting him to go out in the first round. I think he'll go a bit further. But yeah, we'll just have to wait and see.
Indeed. And just a few other Brits actually in this section of the draw. We've got Dan Evans against Feliciano Lopez. Now, Dan Evans hasn't really had the greatest of, you know, results at Grand Slam level. And I feel like this could also be a potential banana skin in the first round. We know how much Lopez loves a grass court. You know, he hasn't had a very good form this season on a grass court, but I wouldn't put it past him to suddenly draw a performance out the bag.
I think that is going to be an old school grass court matchup. You know, play net rushing, serve and volley, whatever it is. I think we're going to see that in that match. But I certainly think that is quite a tricky opener for Dan Evans. Jay Clark also in this quarter has Igor Gerasimov. I only bring this up, Kim, because I watched a bit of Gerasimov versus Songa at Eastbourne, and Gerasimov won in straight sets very comfortably. And it just made me feel really sad about Joe Wilfried Songa and where he is at the moment. He's such a great player, such a likable personality. It's just sad seeing him lose to Gerasimov, who I think it was his first ATP tour level win on a grass court. It just didn't feel right. But maybe Jay Clark will be able to, get one over Gerasimov, but who knows?
Well, indeed. I mean, Liam Brody, I'm going to tip for a win because he's got Cecinato first round, who, you know, loves the clay court, but I'm not so sure about the grass. And Brody got a win over Tiafoe in Eastbourne. So I am going to make a punt and say Brody's into the second round, but we shall see. Literally, we're saying we shall see every second line on this podcast. Let's move to the bottom half of the draw because obviously all eyes will be on Roger Federer in this section, who isn't the second seed. That is Daniil Medvedev. But I think in many people's minds, Federer is probably the natural second seed. But let's start at the top half of the bottom half, if that makes sense. The top seed is actually Sasha Zverev in this section. But again, perhaps people might be looking more towards Matteo Berrettini, recent Queen's champion. Great game for a grass court. And I mean, for me, this is perhaps the most interesting quarter because I do think you've got quite a number of names jumping out here who are going to do their level best to make it through to a semi-final, potentially against Federer. For me, you know, Berrettini, Zverev, but also Hugo Humbert, who recently won Halle. Although he's got a very interesting first round, Joel. Do you happen to know who that's against?
Against one of your favourite players, Kim, Nick Kyrgios.
I thought he was doing some reality show in Australia, but obviously not.
Yeah, that one, I would guess. Well, whatever it was short-lived because, yeah, Nick Kyrgios is back. He is playing Wimbledon. I don't know if he's, you know, got bored and wants to, you know, play some tennis again. I don't know if this is going to be a one-off or he's coming back to the tour properly. But he is going to face Humbert in the first round, which is... That's going to be very tough. I mean, Nick Kyrgios is a very talented player. We've all seen that in the past, but he's been off because of the pandemic for, you know, must be pushing 18 months now. And
well, he did play at the Australian Open. Apart from that.
But, you know, it's regardless of how talented you are, I don't know how much, work he's been putting in. At home, in terms of the, you know, as I said, in terms of those kind of hard yards, and to come up against someone like Humbert, who had that phenomenal run in Halle, that is going to be very, very tricky. And although I think, you know, the fans will absolutely lap it up, I think with Kyrgios being back there as an entertainer, you know, it could feasibly see his singles, his time in the singles competition could be potentially a little bit short lived.
Indeed. And I think Humbert has reached the fourth round of Wimbledon before. So, but you also looking at Felix Auger-Aliassime, perhaps, who's had very decent results on grass so far this year. I mean, he would actually play Humbert in that third round. So not the best draw for either of them. But yeah, very attractive match if so. Karatsev's also lingering. Casper Ruud, John Isner. Yeah, it's quite loaded, isn't it, that bit?
No one is talking about John Isner, and you can just see he's one of those players you can just never rule out John Isner on a grass court. So, you know, I think, yeah, this quarter is particularly spicy. You've got quite a few dangerous kind of floaters in there. You know, Auger-Aliassime, you know, how is he going to be after, you know, that win against, you know, Federer in Halle. I think he lost to Rublev in the semis, but his confidence is going to be sky high. Again, didn't have a great kind of French Open. Yeah, so it's going to be a very tough to predict quarter for that. And, you know, with Berrettini, although he's a player, you know, we've seen his, you know, seen him do really well recently on the grass. Again, there's going to be that level of expectation there now that how is he going to play with that on him? I still think he's going to be very cool, calm and collected. He's not really, I feel like, an emotional guy. Like, you know, there are other players on the circuit, but again, it's still a bit of an unknown. And although I would say Berrettini's probably the favorite in that quarter, particularly given that, you know, yes, Zverev is there, but he's never had a top 10 win at a Grand Slam. Again, for Berrettini, there might be that little extra pressure that he might be feeling that he is now probably expected to get to the semi-final.
Yeah, I think realistically it will still come out of Zverev or Berrettini. I know Zverev, yeah, he doesn't have wins against top players at slams, but I feel like of late he's been quite consistent in slams. And despite going perhaps two sets down here or there, he comes through in the early rounds, even when he's not playing very good tennis, and he gets the job done, which gives me some confidence that he will get to at least the quarterfinals. But, and just a note, I think FAA lost to Humbert in Halle, so they would potentially have a rematch. Oh, yes. So he might be on for revenge, perhaps, if that does happen. But I wouldn't be surprised if Kyrgios won that first round either. So, you know, as is Nick Kyrgios's way. I know he must be incredibly lacking in match practice, but, you know, he loves the crowd. He might just win his way through lots of trickery. But, let's look at the bottom segment, which does have Roger Federer in and Daniil Medvedev. I mean, looking at their first round matches alone, Medvedev really has got the short straw. He's got Jan Lennard Struff, who beat him in Halle in the first round, and they've got a rematch already. So I'm sure Medvedev is probably thinking, oh no, here we go again. Medvedev's in the Mallorca Open final, so he's got some wins under his belt and, you know, getting into a bit of form on a grass court, but I do not have confidence that he will even get past Struff, to be honest.
Yeah, Medvedev is a really interesting one, because I think, you know, with the French Open, again, he had a really tough draw and he just sort of came through it a lot easier than we were expecting.
That is true.
And I don't know if that's going to be the case here, but as you said, it looks quite tough on paper, because he has Struff in the first round, who he lost to in Halle. He could potentially face Cilic in the third round. He might even face Dimitrov in the fourth round, although that, I think, would remain to be seen. And then Federer in the quarterfinals. So, you know, Medvedev, you look at his game and you think, yeah, it should work quite well. You know, he plays quite a flat game. That should just kind of speed off the, you know, when it hits the grass, big serve. You can see why he can do well, but I don't think actually reached the second week here. So even though he's the second seed, there's still going to be, I think, a lot of work to be done for him to, I think, be installed as one of the, you know, the favorites. Because I think at the moment, even though he is the second seed, you'd still probably put him in the chasing pack, and probably I would put him even behind probably someone like Berrettini, who is seeded lower than him.
Would you say, obviously Federer's in the section, would you say that Federer is still a favourite over Medvedev, though, obviously given past form on a grass court?
If I'm a Fed fan looking at this draw, I think I would be pretty happy in two respects, in the sense that I'm in the half opposite Novak Djokovic, but also I'm in probably the easier quarter in that bottom half. I certainly don't see there being many sort of demons for him to kind of come through in the earlier rounds. I mean, yes, he's got Manarino, who's doing quite well this week. But, you know, Gasquet in round two, that should be fine. Could face Cam Norrie in round three, which could be an interesting one. I think that could be quite tricky. Trickier than probably maybe a lot of people might expect. but I would still expect Federer to come through that. And then Carreño Busta or Sonego in round four again, I think he should be, you know, he should be coming through that. And if it does happen that we get a Federer Medvedev quarterfinal, yeah, I, you know, regardless of that defeat that he, that Fed had against FAA in Halle, I still would put Fed as the slight favourite.
I just, I'm still sceptical about his fitness and his longevity. You know, he's only had two grass court matches, and the likes of Sonego. Sonego is in the Eastbourne final, I believe. PCB was in the Mallorca semis, and like they've had a lot more matches. And I mean, I'm not saying they're going to beat Federer, but I just think if Federer gets embroiled in a lot of four setters, five setters, perhaps, in the earlier rounds, he really needs to kind of whiz through, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I think it's really good that, I mean, I hope Cam gets to the third round. I would love to see him come up against Federer to see what he could do. And I mean, it's a bit unlucky for Norrie because he's had Rafa in the last two slams in the third round. So were he to get there, you know, he's coming up against another great of the game. But, you know, that would be absolutely, I mean, this is his first slam where he'll be seeded. So, I hope he can like justify his seeding and carry on his good form. He's got, yeah, I think decent matches for his first two rounds. So touching all the wood in the world for that one. I mean, I was also quite interested. Lorenzo Musetti against Hubert Hurkacz is a first round. And Hurkacz has not really been in great form of late. And obviously we saw what Musetti can do on a clay court. So I'm quite intrigued to see what he's going to be doing on grass.
Yeah, definitely. You know, there's a lot of interesting, I think, round one matches. I mean, looking forward to the round one popcorn in, you know, starting what, on Monday and Tuesday. You know, we've talked about some of those matches, Djokovic versus Draper, Tsitsipas, Tiafoe. I mean, Kim, some of the other matches, again, we've got some absolutely fantastic, you know, fantastic matchups. And I'm looking at Seb Korda versus Alex de Minaur. That for me, I mean, we always when draws come out talk about, oh, that has five sets written all over it, and I think Korda de Minaur, if there is one match I'm like, that's got five sets written all over it, I think it's that one.
I do think so, yeah. I mean, de Minaur is obviously doing really well, but he might be a bit tired from playing a final tomorrow. Was Korda be a bit fresher perhaps, but I'd still expect ADM to come through that. But I do think, ooh, yeah,
I don't know. I think
Korda, in five,
dangerous lurker. Seb Korda. I mean, you've got Schwartzman versus Pair. That could be quite fun. What else do you have? I mean,
Verdasco Dimitrov.
I mean, that's a match from like 2010, isn't it?
It's a very pretty match as well. So I was saying to you before we started recording, what if Grigel goes on another run to the semis? Like, is he capable? Like, I feel like there's going to be a rogue men's semi-finalist. And you know, he does have the potential to put together random runs. But then I also have a feeling about Marin Cilic. But am I getting ahead of myself just because he won a you know, the Stuttgart title the other week? Yeah, but I don't know. Shall we make some like random predictions, Joel, before we go to the women's draw?
Yes. Let's. Okay. Predictions.
So, right. I mean, I assume we've both got Djokovic winning. Obvious.
Yes. So, yes, I have gone for my predictions for the men's 2021 championships at Wimbledon. I've got Djokovic Opelka in my top half semi-final. I don't think Djokovic is dropping a set en route to the final. If I think Opelka, I certainly just think that, yeah, that bottom, that second quarter, I think is quite open. I don't really see RBA. Nope. I don't see Kachanov. I don't see Tsitsipas getting there. And I think someone like Opelka, channeling maybe the, you know, the success, I think, of, you know, someone like John Isner on, you know, on the grass at Wimbledon, I think he could be quite dangerous. And if his serve is on form, and, you know, he's got, we've talked about how good his movement is, and, you know, he can back that up with his ground strokes, and if he can keep the point short, I think Opelka might have a outsider chance of getting to the semifinals. Certainly feel like he could get to the second week. But yeah, I've got Djokovic Opelka in my kind of top half semifinal. And then by bottom half semifinal, I've got bit more to the form book. I've got Berrettini versus Federer.
I see. Okay. Right, I've gone Djokovic obviously as well. And then I was debating between Tsitsipas, and then I thought, no, I just don't feel it. So I've gone for Alex de Minaur, based on the form book, even though in the past I haven't really rated him that much, but I just feel like I couldn't pick anyone else from that section. So I'm going for him as a rogue wild pick. And then the other half, I'm actually going for Zverev, just based on the fact that even though he hasn't played particularly great tennis of late, but he seems to make his way through somehow.
Okay. So you think he's going to finally get a top 10 win?
Well, I guess he'll probably have to get there. So yes, I think he will. And then I'm actually going to go for Marin Cilic in my other semi-final. And that is, I don't have confidence in Federer. I apologize, Fed fans. I just don't have a feeling that he's going to do as well as people would hope. I'm sure he'll prove me wrong. So I've actually got a Djokovic-Zverev final with obviously Djokovic winning very comfortably.
Okay. I've got a Djokovic-Federer rematch, and I have got Djokovic winning as well. I disagree with you, Kim. I think Federer, I just don't see a lot of demons in his path, and I think he might spring a surprise. I know there's going to be murmurs and questions around his kind of fitness, and I think it will be a case of he needs to get these matches over and done with in three sets, because I do think the longer they go on, there's more chance that his game might go south or drop off a cliff, like that third set against FAA. But I've got a Djokovic Federer final. But yeah, you just cannot see at the moment past Novak Djokovic winning his sixth Wimbledon, which would be very interesting, because if that happens, Federer, Nadal and Djokovic will all be on 20 singles Grand Slams each.
And on that note, we shall take a quick break, I think. Do join us in the second half, where we'll be looking at the women's draws, as well as announcing our collector set for Wimbledon. So see you in a moment.
This episode of The Passing Shot is sponsored by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming, to ensure you can always have new balls, please.
And just in time for the grass court season, Manscaped have launched their fourth generation trimmer, the appropriately titled Lawnmower 4.0.
Over lockdown, tending to my nether regions has become an important routine, including the all-important issue of ball trimming. I love the lawnmower's smooth, comfortable grooming experience that gives me next-level attention to detail.
And it makes an excellent gift for a male partner, friend or family member who maybe has a bit too much ball fuzz down there. So the Lawnmower 4.0 will serve up a right treat.
Use Manscaped now with our exclusive code PSPOD20 to get 20% off and free worldwide shipping at manscaped.com. That's PSPOD20. Links in the description. Your balls will thank you.
This is The Passing Shot with Joel and Kim, supported by DownloadTennis.com. And now we're going to move on to discussing the women's singles draw, which I think it's fair to say is anyone's guess. And if anyone is putting money on one of the 128 women to win, then good luck to you.
Because you could win
a fortune. Yeah, I mean, it's so difficult, isn't it? Because you've got, like ladies who have just won their first title, like Samsonova, Ongibor, they've won a title on grass, they're in good form. And then you've got, Krejcikova, who's just won the French Open, yet we haven't seen her play since, so we don't know what to expect from her. Then we've got Serena Williams, obviously multiple time champion and gunning for that, 24th slam. We've got top seed Ash Barty, who's back from injury. One person we don't have is Simona Halep, who unfortunately, is the defending champion, but has had to pull out with an ongoing calf injury. So she announced that before the draw this morning. I guess not a massive surprise because we knew she was struggling with it, but it is a real shame because, you know, the way she won Wimbledon 2 years ago was absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, I would have loved to have seen her back on the grass.
Yeah, that was a bit disappointing, wasn't it? We saw her on, I think, you know, on social media go over to the All England Club, and that raised some sort of hope that she might have been able to, you know, defend her title. But sadly, it wasn't to be. As you said, I think she's got a kind of calf injury that she sustained earlier on in the season. And, you know, judging, I think, from kind of the post she's been putting out on her own account, it sounds like she's really desperate to get back out on the court. And I think it's such a shame for, you know, Halep not being able to be at the French Open or Wimbledon. You know, I don't know what the kind of the time frame is on it, but yeah, no one wants to see a situation where the defending, well, the current champion isn't able to get out there and at least, you know, put a challenge up for, you know, for her own title.
Absolutely. I mean, and as a result, I think she was, am I right in thinking she was going to be seeded second? So Sabalenka now becomes the second seed. Let's begin, I guess, as logically we should, with the top of the draw, which has Ash Barty, number one seed, beginning. And I don't know who will kick off the women's event on the Tuesday, because normally that is the defending champion. So I don't know if they would give it to Serena as the defending finalist. I think that probably is what will happen. But yeah, Ash Barty, she's got quite an interesting first round herself. She's got Carla Suarez Navarro, who is on her, you know, retirement tour, did very well, you know, in the French, like in terms of her performance. And
that match against Lynn Stevens, yeah.
Mm, yeah, very, very impressive. And Ash Barty obviously hasn't played since the second round of the French Open when she pulled out injured. So, I mean, I wouldn't expect Barty to lose, but CSN has form on a grass court. I think she's reached the quarters at Wimbledon, well, at least once. And I, you know, it's not ideal for Barty. And I mean, her draw, you know, possibly Krejcikova fourth round. I don't know what to expect of Krejcikova, I have to say. She's in this segment of the draw, but you know, what she did at the French Open was absolutely remarkable. And I just don't know if she will have a hangover, like we were saying about Tsitsipas. I don't know with this expectation. You know, she's gone up in the rankings. She's the 14th seed here. People are looking to her. They're expecting things. Like, how is that going to change her performance?
Do you know, in a weird way, I still don't think a lot of people are expecting anything from Barbora Krejcikova. You know, I think she's just going to kind of go about her business very quietly. And yes, she is the, you know, reigning French Open champion. But I think, you know, there's, again, I just don't think there is that expectation. And arguably, maybe there's more expectation on her doubles partner, Siniaková, who is who's having a great, great week at the moment on the grass. I think Bad Homburg. That's the one. Yes. But yeah, I mean, just talking on Barty. Yeah, I mean, CSN in round one. Yes, you're right. CSN is a, you know, yes, she is Spanish, but she's one of the more, I think, acclimatized to grass court Spanish players. And, you know, I don't know if there's still an injury doubt over Barty. I mean, she's been all smiles, you know, in the build up, but we've not really seen her. So, you know, I'm not sure how she's kind of going to kind of get on. You know, she could come up against Konta as well in round three, Konta or Siniaková. Azarenka in the quarterfinals feels potentially where it could get interesting. And I think Azarenka, who I think she pulled out of her kind of semi-final this week in... Was it in Bad Homburg again?
Homburg.
Yeah, in Bad Homburg.
Yep.
She looked quite good, I thought. And, you know, she can stay fit again. I think we can't really count out Azarenka, given, you know, what she's done in Grand Slams before, what she's done at Wimbledon before. So I think that might be quite interesting. I feel like there's a lot of players that are vying for Ash Barty, even though she's the top seed. This isn't like a Novak Djokovic situation where we're expecting her to kind of walk it through to the semi-finals.
Yeah, she's quite a vulnerable top seed, I think. Sorry, I'm still laughing to myself, Joel, because I liked your disclaimer about Suarez Navarro. Yes, she is Spanish, but... And it's like, I'm sure Rafa and Garbiñe Muguruza would have words to say about that. Both Wimbledon champions, and they are Spanish. But yes, I think... Azarenka, I don't know if she pulled out of her match because it was like preventative, obviously sensible decision. But you also have Sevastova, who's had an all right week in Eastbourne, Akiki Bertens. Akiki Bertens, I'm confusing her with Elise Mertens. Ignore what I just said. She's got Akiki Bertens is due to retire, isn't she, this year? She announced she sort of had enough. So I wouldn't expect her to actually even come through her first round because she's got Marta Kostic, who's been in good form of late. So yeah, if Bertens gets deep into the tournament, I would be surprised. But you never know, she might sort of have one last hurrah, perhaps. I mean, Krejcikova's got Clara Tauson in the first round, which is not easy. You know, the young Dane. Annette Contaveit as well. She's in the Eastbourne final. I'm never sure with players who are playing like just before, you know, the slam, whether they're going to pick up an injury or they've played too much. So it's great that they've got this form coming in, but I'm always a bit wary to let that kind of continue into the tournament. I mean, she won't have far to go from Eastbourne up to Wimbledon, but I'm always a bit sceptical, but Krejcikova did prove us wrong because she won Strasbourg just before the Roland Garros and that didn't stop her. So, you know, it's so tricky, as we said multiple times. Andreescu as well. I mean, Elise Cornet first round. That's
tough.
I think
she could go out there.
Yeah, I think that could be, you know, 10-8 in the third set potentially with both of those players, I have to say. So I mean, let's look below that in the draw. Serena Williams is half. You know, I think this is an all right draw for Serena, but I mean, I wouldn't have said Kerber would be a threat, but she's just made her way into the bad Homburg final.
Where has that come from? I think that was like her first final from since 2019, I think, I was reading, really kind of peaking at the right time. And we all know Kerber has previous with Serena Williams. If that matchup does happen, Kerber beat Serena in the 2018 final. So, you know, if that does happen, who knows where that would go, that could go. But again, Serena Williams, we all know she's on her quest for a 24th singles Grand Slam. It's quite a... Yeah, I think it's quite a nice quarter. I mean, Svitolina is the top seed but in this quarter, but she's had a largely sort of sometimes good, sometimes not so good season so far. So, you know, I think there's certainly kind of an opportunity for Serena to, I think, take this, you know, part of the draw by the scruff of the neck and come through it. I don't really see many, you know, big names sort of there kind of waiting for her with her number. I mean, an exciting matchup that could happen, I think, is Serena Williams versus Coco Gauff in round four, which has never happened before. That would be something, I think, for Centre Court to get excited about. But I'm still sort of optimistic about Slam 24. I think, you know, the pressure obviously is that, you know, for a lot of people, for a lot of commentators, Wimbledon is her shot. Like this is it. And you know, for some people, This will feel like Serena Williams' last genuine chance because the draw is so open. We don't have Simona Halep, who, you know, played such flawless tennis in that final 2 years ago, that she's not there. Barty has got there's injury doubts, and you know, she's got good head to head records against other sort of good grass court players like, you know, Azarenka, for example. So, you know, for Serena Williams, I'd, you know, despite not having played, you know, a lot or any grass court tennis, I think she's still going to be a force to be reckoned with.
It may take someone like a Belinda Bencic on a good day to, you know, to stop Serena. But Bencic, I feel, is very hot and cold and can throw in awful performances. So as soon as you start thinking she's onto something, she turns the other way. So I think definitely Serena is a steadier prospect, and I would love to see her play Gauff in that fourth round, and I, you know, that would be, I'm sure Wimbledon want that to happen. I'm sure, you know, just think of the TV audience for that match. That's gonna, you know, be amazing. I mean, let's just have a quick look, because I think Coco Gauff is playing a Brit in the first round, Francesca Jones, who's got a wild card, so that'll be quite exciting for Fran Jones. And we've got Joe Konta as well in the top half. But again, really tricky opponent in the first round, Katerina Siniaková, who is into the bad Homburg final. And I know Joe won Nottingham, but she didn't really have to play anyone of note, it's fair to say. Mm. Like the ranking of her opponents was quite low compared to, you know, even Siniaková will be a a cut above, I would say, anyone that Joe probably played in Nottingham. So I really want Joe to do well, but I wouldn't be surprised if she went out in first round, sadly.
Oh, I'm not sure. I mean, she's had some of her best results in tournaments at Wimbledon. So I wonder whether there's, you know, there is an opportunity there. I think Barty is, you know, is a wounded animal. I feel like, you know, there are players out there who, you know, potentially kind of gunning for her. I don't think, yeah, she's, I definitely think she is sort of vulnerable. You spoke about also British players. Fran Jones has Coco Gauff in the first round, in that second quarter. Tough one, I think, for Jones, who I think is there on a wild card. But again, it will be an opportunity for her, I think, to showcase her ability. She had that fantastic start to the season at the, you know, the Australian Open. And, you know, she'll probably kind of, I think, approach that match with Gauff, who has certainly developed a lot, I think, over, you know, the first half of this season, and really kind of approach it same way probably Jack Draper will approach Novak Djokovic, and just kind of go out there and try and show the British public all that Fran Jones can offer.
Absolutely. And we've got more Brits in the bottom half of the draw, which we'll get onto in a second. The bottom half of the draw is led really by... Well, in the top section, you've got the two Czechs, I suppose, that everyone's looking at, Kvitova and Pliskova. In terms of, you know, we know that their games are very well suited to a grass court. Obviously, Kvitova's won this title twice. They're very experienced. You know, Pliskova less so at slams. But, I mean, Kenin is technically the top seed in this section. But, well, when was... I mean, we never really talk about Kenin at the best of times. And there's zero to go on with her coming into Wimbledon. So I do feel, I mean, she's actually got an all right draw to come through.
I mean, this quarter is very, I think, quite nice for anyone who finds themselves in it. And I think, you know, with Kvitova, she, I think, has elevated herself in this kind of section as one of the form players to beat, given her results this week. But she has got a really intriguing Grand Slam winner versus Grand Slam winner matchup against Sloane Stephens, who had a pretty, you know, pretty good French Open, and, you know, will be wanting, I think, to continue that. I think she's very much on an upward kind of trajectory, but, you know, I would still expect Kvitova to come through that, but it's certainly, I think, one of the, I mean, probably the most star-studded round one matchup we have, you know, in the ladies' singles.
Yeah, and although Kvitova has done well this week, if Sloane, you know, pulls the performance out of the bag, I certainly think she could topple Kvitova in the first round. And Kvitova was very unlucky at Roland Garros, wasn't she? Because she picked up that freak injury in, like, the press room. So, but the winner of that would play potentially Heather Watson, who's got Kristi Ahn, a qualifier, in the first round. So, that would be great, I think, for Heather. You know, she had that really close match against Świątek and Eastbourne this week. Arguably, Heather should have won it. She had points to go 5-1 up in the third set. So I'd love to see Heather, you know, making use of her recent good form on grass to actually at least get to the second round, you know, to get a match up against, you know, one of those slam champions. We've also got Harriet Dart in this section against Elise Mertens. So Harriet Dart with a wild card. Jodie Burrage as well, another wild card. She's got Lauren Davis. So tough matchups for both of those.
I think Dart lost to Mertens this week.
She lost to Rybakina this week.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
But she did get a set off Rybakina. It was a closer match than it might have seemed initially. She did serve for the second set as well against Rybakina. So promising, quite promising performance. Katie Balter as well. She's in the bottom section, but she's... got I think she's got, yeah, very winnable match, Danielle Lau qualifier, but I would say Balter is the favorite for that.
I mean, Kim, let's talk about this fourth quarter, because Sabalenka is the second seed, and everyone on Twitter was like laughing at the section around her in the draw, because it was just littered with lucky losers stroke qualifiers. And, you know, Sabalenka, surprisingly, her record at Wimbledon is not great at all. I don't think she's got past the second round, and I think she's lucked out in terms of the early stages of the draw, the fact that she's got so many qualifiers stroke lucky losers around her. I think she certainly should be making
you know, a best in career so far showing at Wimbledon. But I still think there are some doubts there in terms of, you know, when it really comes to the business end, is, you know, is she really up for the fight? And I'm just not sure now, given, you know, what we saw at the French Open.
Yeah, same. I think she's always seems to come up a cropper. You know, I know she lost to Pavlyuchenkova, who obviously reached the final in Roland Garros, but she can't be a four. She needs to be the one that, you know, regardless of who she's playing, is a dead cert to come through. And she's just not giving me that confidence. So
she doesn't face a top 100 player until the third round. So she really should be at least getting to that point.
Yeah, I don't think she'll fall that early, but I just think when you look at her potential quarterfinal, could be Iga Swiatek, could be Garbiñe Muguruza. Is she winning that? Is she even getting through maybe Maria Sakkari, who did really well at the French, or Rybakina in the fourth round? Like, there's some tricky names who, obviously Muguruza, former champion, Rybakina got to the Eastbourne semis, seems to be in decent form. Obviously, he had that win against Serena at the French. Like, there's a handful of players. Ons Jabeur is in this section as well. And, you know, she just won Birmingham. So it's very tricky. I'm looking for Ostapenko in the draw because she's just got into the Eastbourne final. I think actually she's in the top half.
She's got Leila Annie Fernandez in first round. Yeah. But yeah, again, another dangerous unseeded player. Jabeur, as you said, is very, very, very interesting. I think a lot of people expect her to do well here. Just wrapping up that bottom quarter, you've got Iga Swiatek, who we all know her exploits at Roland Garros, doing really well on, you know, generally a very good clay court player. Not really sure how well she is suited to grass. Feel like, yeah, her game should be. And she's got Su Wei Shea in the first round. And a lot of people looking at that as that could be a really fun encounter for the fans, I think.
I think Su Wei Shea's got to the third round or better at Wimbledon the last two years.
That could be an upset.
Yeah. I feel like Iga Swiatek's still finding her feet on grass. You know, she hasn't obviously had that many matches on grass, especially not of late. I mean, has anyone? But, you know, what I saw, you know, almost losing to Heather Watson at Eastbourne didn't instill me with confidence about her form. And so I certainly would think she's an outside pick for the title. She'd have to play her way into form. But interestingly, when she lost in Eastbourne, she lost very comfortably in sets 2 and 3 to Kazakhina, I think it was. And Kazakhina, I've got my eye on her as a very outside pick. She's had fairly decent form, and she hasn't perhaps had massive wins, but she might be one of those players that if the top seeds fall, she could kind of clear up potentially.
Just on Swiatek, she could also face Zvonareva, who I think is a former finalist at Wimbledon.
Yeah.
In round two. So
10 years ago, I think.
Yeah, which, you know, fair play for being in the main draw. But yeah, Swiatek, let's wait and see, Kim.
No, don't say it.
But it's certainly tricky. I don't think the expectation is there as much, on the grass as there is on the clay with Swiatek. But certainly in that quarter, I think someone could make a name for themselves, and it could be someone who's seeded. It very easily, I think, also could be someone who's unseeded. It could even be Venus Williams. I don't know.
Could Katie Swan win the title as a qualifier? She has made history for Britain, though, because she has been the first female British qualifier in 20 years to get into the main draw. I don't think she's dropped a set in her qualifying matches. She's played pretty decent. I may be wrong on the set, but she beat Rodionova very easily at Roehampton today. And, she's had quite a difficult time, I think, in the last year or so with injury. So she is down at almost 400 in the world. But really good to qualify. She's got Madison Keyser in the first round, which, you know, she could have had a better draw. But I think, to be honest, Madison Keys, what's she done of late? I don't think she's done much. So, who knows?
I didn't realise Madison Keys, she has got to, I think, the quarterfinals or better at all four Grand Slams.
But yeah, we don't really talk about her. I feel like she's quite inconsistent, quite, dare I say, invisible at the moment. But maybe she can, spring a surprise here and go deep. But I mean, looking at the kind of round ones we've got in store on the women's side, we've already, again, spoken about some of them. Stevens, Kvitova, Świątek, Shea, Barty, Suarez, Navarro. I mean, I'm looking at Kiki Bertens versus Marta Kostic for some reason. I think that is a very much could be an upset, as could, I think, Cornet Andreescu.
Yep. Jessica Pegula's got Caroline Garcia as well. I think Pegula will come through that, but it's quite a tasty match. The winner of that will play Samsonova, who, won her first title last week. And I think Muguruza, Fiona Ferro, that's not easy for Muguruza, because Ferro's, can be a piece of work on a tennis court. So a lot of people as well saying, how will Tamara Zadanzek do? Recent semi-finalist at Roland Garros. She's got Pliskova in the first round. So will she be able to continue her sort of slam form in that? I think it's unlikely, but stranger things have happened. So I'm not going to say we'll wait and see, but you know what I mean. Shall we make some predictions for the women, Joel? I don't know how you're going to play this. Are you going old school? Are you going rogue winners?
I cannot see this being like the French Open for some reason. I cannot see this being, a couple of players we're very unfamiliar with that we were not expecting anything from to be the final, in just over 2 weeks' time. I have gone old school and I'm sticking to players who have shown their pedigree on grass courts in the past. And that's why my two semifinals are, I've got Azarenka versus Serena Williams in the top half. And I've got Kvitova versus Garbiñe Muguruza in the bottom semifinals. So I've got a bit of a throwback vibe going on, I think, with my two semifinals.
Wow. Yes, definitely quite a throwback. I really want to predict Muguruza, but every time I do, she never does anything. So I'm avoiding her this tournament. I've gone slightly different. I'm still sort of umming and ahhing, but I'm just going to go with my first pick. I think from the top half, I've got it between sort of Azarenka, Siniakova, Kazatkina and Ostapenko. And I'm actually going to go for Kazatkina, a bit rogue. And then I've got Kerber, I think. I think she's going to come through against Serena. I think Kerber's going to go on a bit of a run. And then my bottom half, I've gone for Elise Mertens, purely because she's quite a consistent player. And I sort of struggle to... I just feel like that consistency is going to come through and be rewarded. I feel like Kvitova might fall and I'm just not convinced, really. So
Kvitova might go into another press conference.
And well, she might, yes. I think she'll be looking extra carefully at where she's walking. I've got Rybakina, actually, in my other semi-final from the bottom half, based on the fact that she's reached the Eastbourne semis and did well at the French. So I've got a final between Kazatkina and Rybakina. Have I gone mad, Joel?
Well, I think you've been on the pims a little bit too early there. So Kazatkina, Rybakina final, who's your champion?
Kazatkina. Why not? I think this is very out there, but who would have thought Krejcikova? There we go.
True, that is very true. I mean, I've gone completely the opposite. I've gone for a Serena Williams, Garbiñe Muguruza final, and I've got Serena Williams being the champion, winning Slam 24. I'm filled with confidence after her performance at the French Open. I think if it's going to happen, it's got to happen here. I think she knows that, and the fact that Simona Halep isn't there, and there are just, I think there's just a massive chasing pack, and I just think that her form and an experience here, I think, is going to see her through. And even if she does come up against someone like Kerber, I think she's going to be able to win that. So yeah, I'm all in for Serena 24.
It'll be like we're back in time, won't it? If she wins again, it's like the whole world may change. There might be a pandemic, but Serena will still win Wimbledon. Okay, one last prediction, Joel. Last British player standing in the singles, because we'll probably do much better in the doubles, as per.
I've got Evans round four. I think Norrie is the better form player at the moment, but I think he comes up against Federer in round three. So I'm expecting Evans to get to round four. I know what you're going to say to me. I know he has not done well in slams in the past, and he's done better on the tour itself. But I just think the draw he's got, I think he should be getting to round four.
To be fair, though, Dan Evans did get to the fourth round. Oh no, was it the third? It was the third round when he lost to João Sousa on that Saturday night. Yeah, that was really dramatic. I remember being there watching that. Yes. No, that's fair enough. I've gone for Cam Norrie, though. Just round three, I think we'll lose to Fed, sadly. But I think he's doing good at slam, so I'm going to go with Cam. Let's have a quickly mention the doubles. Obviously, there's a load of Brits getting wildcard into the doubles, both the men's and women's side. Interestingly, there's no Serena or Venus in the doubles, in the women's doubles anyway. Haven't seen the mixed draw. That hasn't been done yet. So we won't be seeing them, you know, pairing up as we have done in the past. I'm just wondering, I think for the women's doubles, I'm just intrigued to see if Krejcikova and Siniaková can do the Roland Garros Wimbledon double, because they did it, I think, 3 years ago. So I'm just intrigued to see if they can do it again. And then on the men's side, Mektić and Pavic have just won Eastbourne. And you'd have to say, now that they're back and they aren't ruled out through COVID, you'd have to say that they are the top, you know, the absolute faves.
They will no doubt be putting themselves in a bubble within a bubble within a bubble to protect themselves, given what happened at the French Open. Yeah, the Tsitsipas brothers in on a wild card. I know.
Controversial.
It's an ongoing joke, isn't it, in the podcast? The Tsitsipas brothers. I mean, interestingly, that does mean one of the top male contenders in Stefanos Tsitsipas is playing the doubles, which doesn't happen too often. I mean, I 100% have them losing in round one of the men's doubles, so I don't actually think it's going to make much of a difference. But it's nice to see. It's something that we don't really see, or we see more of, I think, on the ladies' side than the men's side. So, yeah. But, you know, could we have a male British males doubles champion? I mean, if we do, it feels like it could happen with Joe Salisbury, maybe Jamie Murray and Bruno Suarez. I definitely think we've got some contenders in there.
Well, Jamie Murray, if he does win, he might, you know, have words with the Olympic selection, because he's been omitted from the British Olympic team. So, which I think is a bit rude, but there we go. I'm personally quite intrigued by the Lopezes. They are back playing together, Mark and Feliciano. Freddie Nilsson, one of my faves, is in action. And Cam Norrie is playing with Xiaomei Munar, which I saw them play like 2 years ago, and I really enjoyed them as a partnership. So I'm looking forward to seeing a bit of doubles, hopefully, weather and draw permitting, next week. But yeah, I think, well, that kind of brings us to a close almost. For today, we have got our collector set to announce now, which I'm sure most listeners have been just waiting for us to get to. It's the most important part of the podcast, obviously. And yeah, for anyone who hasn't played before, it's a little fun predictions game where we throw out six names and we want everyone to guess which round these players are going to get to in the competition. So whether that's the first round, the quarterfinals, the final, whether they'll win. We just need you to tell us basically which round you think they'll reach. And then whoever gets the most correct answers will win a very coveted Passing Shot mug. They're getting pretty famous, Joel, I have to say. They're doing the rounds on Twitter these days.
Going worldwide, aren't they?
Yeah, indeed. Watch this space. So we've chosen three men and three women for Wimbledon 2021. Joel, would you like to do the big reveal?
So our six picks for collector set Wimbledon 2021. On the men's side, we are going with Stefanos Tsitsipas, Matteo Berrettini, and Andy Murray. And on the women's side, we have got Petra Kvitova, Elena Rybakina, and Coco Gauff. So those are our
Those are our six picks. Tsitsipas, Berrettini, Murray, Kvitova, Rybakina, Goff. So what you need to do is let us know what round, or if you think they're going to win the competition, let us know before play starts on Monday to be in with a chance of winning a very sexy, very coveted passing shot mug.
Indeed. And we'll also announce ours. We'll have a thought process about it, I think, over the weekend. We'll announce ours on our first catch up on Tuesday. We will have done them before the start of play. Don't worry, we're not cheating, but we'll just announce them.
It probably won't even matter because, as always, our predictions are terrible. So we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, Kim, before we finish this mammoth episode, let's quickly just mention Diana Yastremska. The saga is over.
Yeah, and basically, for anyone who doesn't know, she's had this doping ban because a banned substance was found in her urine, and she's appealed it, and the tribunal have said that actually she's not at fault, she wasn't negligent, and she's eligible to compete again immediately. So they obviously bought her story.
Exactly. And I think, is she in the Wimbledon draw? I think she was trying to play. Oh no, she's, I think she's out of Wimbledon, but yeah, she's gonna be back on tour, so I think she can help put this nightmare behind her and just get back to playing some tennis. She's probably quite relieved about it.
Yeah, I'm sure she's thrilled and over the moon. And I was wondering if it had come in just in time for Wimbledon, but it hasn't. So, let's just quickly touch upon, I think we've kind of roughly mentioned as we've gone along, but a couple of finals obviously happening tomorrow. In Mallorca, we have got Daniil Medvedev against Sam Querrey. And Sam Querrey, actually, we haven't even mentioned in the draw. Like, he is a former Wimbledon semi-finalist. So he... is potentially one to watch as well in the main draw. But Medvedev Querrey, to be honest, I think that could go either way. I expect Medvedev will come through, but they kind of will just want to get that done, hop on the first plane to London and settle in, won't they? And then in the Eastbourne, which is a joint tournament, we've got Sonego against Alex de Minaur in the final. And Sonego, interestingly, Joel, already won a grass court event in Antalya 2 years ago, which I had completely forgotten. So, he's a bit more nifty on grass than I actually thought he was. We saw him at Queen's last week, didn't we?
He looked a little bit Bambi on ice, didn't he?
Yes, I think he's obviously improved a little bit since then, finding his feet. And de Minaur obviously going well, very solid, and has a career high as well at the moment in the rankings. And then for the women, we've got an Ostapenko Kontaveit final in Eastbourne. Ostapenko came through against Rybakina quite comfortably earlier, and Kontaveit had a bit of a weird match because Camilla Giorgi, who has done really well this week, had a lot of long matches, come through qualifying. She retired kind of all of a sudden, 5-4 down in the first set. So bit of a disappointing day, I think, for the women, really. They had a really epic day of quarterfinals on Friday, but on Thursday, sorry, but today it was a bit one-sided and short-lived. But an all-Baltic final awaits tomorrow in Eastbourne. And then, as we just said, we've got Kerber in the final in Bad Homburg against Siniakova. So, well, again, I feel like that could go either way too, but I'm just intrigued if Siniakova's doing a Krejcikova.
I know, that's so funny that they're doubles partners, and yeah, Siniakova, who we don't really know as a singles player. I think she's around sort of 50-60 in the world in the singles ranking, yeah, getting to the finals. So that could be a very tough test for Konta. Let's wait and see. Oh God, we should probably have a wait and see jar, shouldn't we? Yes, listeners, I hope you've enjoyed listening to this Wimbledon draw preview pod. Make sure to subscribe to us to stay up to date on all things Wimbledon over the coming 2 weeks. We will, of course, be doing our round by round coverage. We will be starting our round by round coverage on Tuesday with round one. So I hope you can join us for that. So make sure you subscribe to us on your podcasting platform of choice, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, Castbox, Stitcher.
And if you have been enjoying listening to the show and you want to help the show out, make sure to leave us a rating and comment on Apple Podcasts.
And you can follow us on social media if you don't already. We are on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at Passing Shot Pod. So do give us a like, subscribe, tell your friends, you know, it's going to be Wimbledon fortnight, and many of your friends probably don't perhaps follow tennis all year round. So it's the perfect time for them to give us a follow and start doing so. But you can also get in contact with us via email if you prefer as well. PassingShotPod@gmail.com.
And we will be back with our first round by round Wimbledon catch up on Tuesday evening for round one. So I hope you can join us for that. In the meantime, start thinking about your kind of collector set and get that to us. And we will see you on the other side. I hope you can join us for that round one catch up on Tuesday. And we will see you again soon.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.